Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivada Thari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivada Thari. Yashoda Nandana Vrajidana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Vrajidana Ranjana. Yamuna Tiravanachari. Yamuna Tiravanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivada Thari. Yashoda Nandana Vrajidana Ranjana. Yamuna Tiravanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivajikacharya Asasatsa Shri Shrimad His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivajikacharya Asasatsa Shri Shrimad His Divine Grace Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Prabhupada Ki. Ananta Koti Vaishnavinda Ki Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki. ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki. Prem Segaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Garadhar Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vindaki Sri Sri Radha Krishna Go Gopinath Shamakunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Yamuna Devi Ki Ganga Devi Ki Bhakti Devi Ki Tulsi Devi Ki Vrindavandam Ki Mayapuram Ki Sankirtan Yajna Ki Gaur Premanandi All Glories The Assembled Devotees. All glories to some of the devotees. All glories to some of the devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Glories to Srila Prabhupada. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 14, Text Number 14. Savidit. Vatma jananam no bhavam santana bhavanaha Vishvayo Dash Adadat Tasam Yaste Shilam Anuvrataha Savid Itvatma Jananam No Bhavam Santana Bhavanaha Trayo Dash Adadat Tasam Yaste Shilam Anuvataha. Please chant. Savidi Vatma Jananam No Vati Santamahavadvata. Bhavam Santana Bhavanaha Tayoda Dasa Tat Satsam Yaste Shilam Anuvrataha Savid Vichatranam Lo Bhavam Santana Bhavanaha Satsasatam Yate Sri Lama Nuvata Sa Daksha Viditva Understanding Atmajanam of the daughters Na our Babam Indication Santana Children Bhavana Well-wisher, Trayodasha, 13, Adadat, handed over, Tasam, of all of them, Ya, those who are, Te, your, Shilam, behavior, Anuvrata, all faithful, our well-wishing father, Daksha, after knowing our intentions, handed over 13 of his daughters unto you, and since then we have all been faithful. Please read together. Our well-wishing father, Daksha, after knowing our intentions, handed over 13 of his daughters unto you, and since then we have all been faithful. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Generally, the daughters were too shy to express their opinions before their father, but the father would accept the daughter's intentions through someone else, such as a grandmother to whom the grandchildren had free access. King Daksha collected the opinions of his daughters and thus handed over 13 to Kashyapa. Every one of Diti's sisters was a mother of children. Therefore, since she was equally faithful to the same husband, why should she remain without children? Om Agyanati Marandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Gena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Didati Das Vedantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Parakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadbhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shivishak Anvitamscha. Jai. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto him. Now remember, Daksha, I guess it's coming later. Daksha had many, many sons. And Narada Muni met his sons and preached to him, isn't that right? And they all became brahmacharis, and he wasn't very happy about that. So 10,000, but there were two sets, right? First 1,000, first 10,000, then 1,000, right? So now, because we see, I mean, that Daksha is such a great personality, still materially motivated, not engaging in pure devotional service, and like anyone else, not anyone, but a devotee would be happy, right, if their sons became sannyasis, most of them anyway, but he was not. So now his daughters, he wants to take special care. So this is like, it's kind of an arranged marriage, because the father has the ultimate say. Like it's saying here that you know, the daughters, like he asked them, but also they were shy, so they expressed to their grandmother. So grandmothers are very important members of society, because grandmothers generally hold the values of the tradition that one is living in, and can pass that down to the grandchildren. So here, why, like this, we see, like there's free selection. We heard yesterday's verse that there's free selection. So free selection if the father and mother approve. So it's kind of like, you know, like there's a big yard here. You know, the children can have freedom to run all over, but there's still boundaries where they can run. And so he has to approve. And, you know, there are Svayamvara ceremonies for the princely order where the women can choose, the girls can choose their husband. So, you know, statistically, arranged marriages last longer than love marriages, because arranged marriages, you don't really have such, like, your expectation. You're just getting to know the person as you go along, whereas love marriages, it's often based on just temporary, especially very young teenagers. You know, that they may not be thinking very far into the future. So why? Like I once was on a train, in a long train ride, like from Delhi to Calcutta, and this nice Sikh girl, there were a whole bunch of youth going to work for Tata. But a young girl, she was a Sikh, and her uncle brought her to a different train, not with all the other youth. But anyway, we became friendly, and talking about how she has a boy that she would like to marry, and he would like to marry her, but she's a Sikh, and he's a Hindu. So they're pretty soon going to present it to their families, and if the family disapproves, they will terminate the relationship totally. You know, they never have been intimate. Of course, I'm kind of interrogating, and she said that's not allowed. And so that's culture, you know, that like it's not allowed in any culture of the world, you know, premarital sex and everything. But still, that doesn't mean it doesn't go on rampantly. So she said, you know, both of our families, they have to approve of our relationship. And you probably know people, especially Indian young men, if they want to marry an American, like how much generally disapproval there is from the family. I know several, more than one, where the mother said, I will commit suicide if you marry her. And you know about this devotee, and the dad's in Mayapur, but he was engaged to an English girl, and the mom said that. So he instead committed suicide right in front of the girl on the balcony of a hotel, poured gasoline on himself. You know, so much pressure. But why is there this pressure? It's really because, it's really because they love their children and they want the very best for them. And in their estimation, you know, they have another idea of what would be best for you long term, right? Like Prabhupada said, you ask a boy one question, how are you going to maintain my daughter? You know, so that's a big consideration. Whereas a young couple, they won't think of that at all, because they're just madly in love, and you know, the hormones are very strong, and not thinking like, is this young man, is he really going to be responsible? Is he going to take care of me for life and take care of our children and things like that? So that's why the family, the involvement is there. Because they're well-wishers, that's what it says right here, our well-wishing father. So he really wanted the best for his daughters. And, you know, one of his daughters, Sati, she wanted to marry Lord Shiva. So that was a good choice, being the best Vaishnava. But here, they all wanted to marry Daksha. And it says, why? Because they should study what he's famous for, you know, study his character. So Kasyapa Muni, he's no ordinary personality. Actually, he had two incarnations of Krishna as his sons. So later on, and so that's a very exalted personality, although not exactly a 100%, you know, pure Vaishnava. He still engaged in impersonal tendencies, because, you know, the reason, as we're going to hear, like, it's going to get a little risque here with this daughter here, Diti, the mother of the demons, and Aditi, his other wife, the mother of the demigods, and Bhamanadev, right? And so anyway, the thing is that she was like, we're going to hear how she, the main thing, more than anything, she lost her patience, you know? And we see both things are mentioned here. Both that she was overcome by lust, by sexual desire, uncontrollable. And then the other was because she wanted to have children. It said all of her sisters, they had children, although Sati didn't have children as far as I know, but that's from Shiva. But she wanted to have children. So often it goes together, and it's mentioned that if it wasn't pleasurable begetting children, no one would bother, because it's an awful lot of work. but a woman generally very much desires to become a mother and to have children. And so the thing is that she lost her shyness. That's what the problem was. That's why, we're going to hear about the birth of how Jai and Vijay became Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. But so the Prabhupada said this shyness, it's like a safety valve, he said, or it's a secret weapon of a woman, shyness. He said, this is like way worse than when Srila Prabhupada was here. We see how the women are, even in India, like the billboards in India are worse than the ones in America, but how women dress, like just to attract the attention of men with no shyness at all. But Prabhupada said a street sweeper who's shy, she commands respect. And he gave an example. He said, when I was a young man, I was in a room with other young men, and in one of their homes, we were sitting on the floor, and the cleaning lady, you know, their maid, she came to the door, but she was so shy, she wouldn't walk past, you know, through them, because they were like facing each other, and she wouldn't pass. And so they all stood up to allow her to pass. So that's like a sign of respect, that you show up. So, you know, showing the maid commanded that respect because of her shyness. And you all probably know, like, some men that are kind of macho, they're kind of harsh and a little bit mean. But if their wife is sweet, he's not like that with her. He's like that with everybody else, but he won't be like that with his wife, because she can control him by her sweetness and by her shyness like that. So here we see that apparently these daughters, they really wanted to marry Daksha. I mean, he was a king and, you know, very powerful. And but we see that it's polygamy. Generally, like in the old days, in the 70s, right, we had a little ISKCON devotees, like a handful, engaged in polygamy. Not one of them has lasted, it's because our culture doesn't support it really, because we all want exclusive. We want exclusive devotion and fidelity to us. But the thing is, nobody, in either the man or the woman, no one is capable of providing the love and affection that we yearn for. So Krishna, Madan Mohan, he's the only one really that can do that. You know, even if someone has all intentions and it is so much loves you, they're not capable, and neither are we. I mean, we are fallible soldiers, all of us. You know, we are limited just by our material body, like how there's impediments, and as much as we would like to give and we would like to be loving people, it's not possible, because we don't have that capacity. But if we love Madan Mohan, who is the he is the controller of Cupid, and then we see there is a place to repose that love that will never be frustrated, or we won't find disappointment in that. And so the thing about Kasyapa, like, we're going to hear how he gave in. Like, he didn't have to. He's supposed to be so strong, so powerful, and here he's meditating. So why did he give in? Whereas, like, Haridas Thakur, you know, he didn't give in, and he had Maya Devi herself coming to tempt him. But, you know, because of his strong attachment and a taste for the holy name of Krishna, nothing could deviate him. And then even Arjuna, being a great devotee, imagine, he goes to visit his father Indra in heaven, and generally parents want, like, something that they think is great, they want to share it with their children. They want their children to have it. Like, we want our children to have experience of devotional service and chanting the holy name and reading Srimad Bhagavatam, and we so much want them to have this. So Indra, he's thinking, Arjuna, he deserves to meet with Urvasi, because she's the best prostitute in heaven. Like, not like our modern day prostitutes, you know, like, you know, all crusty and everything and worn out and degraded like anything. But she's like gorgeous and cultured and all of this, because every night Indra has entertainment, and she was dancing, and Arjuna was watching, because, you know, when he's in exile, he's going to be a eunuch, and he's going to teach dancing to the daughter of Virat, and so Uttara, right? And so he's thinking, I want to learn so I could teach the dancing later. But Indra saw him looking at her, and he said, oh, he would like to enjoy with her. And so he arranged for her to go to him, and she knocks on the door, and he's like, oh, no, thank you. You know, like, you're like my mother, because you've been with my father, Indra, and so I have no desire. She was like, what? Like any man would dream of uniting with Urvasi, you know, the best, most beautiful woman, and he denied it, and so she cursed him. That was a benediction, cursed him, right? Isn't it her who cursed him to become the eunuch? So it was to his advantage later on for that 1 year. So here polygamy, it's totally part of the culture. So then one learns to accept it as much as one desires, you know, to have exclusive love and relationship with their husband. But especially these are all sisters, and there are lots of people in the world. Of course, we know the Muslims, it's very, very common. And then the Mormons, and even now, especially there's a group of African Americans, they're very much into polygamy, because they're like, you know, I think of the ideal, like Queen Kunti. I mean, like, such a gem of a woman, and so highly qualified and Krishna conscious. And yet Dasarath, his favorite queen really was Kaikeyi. What'd you say? Was Kaikeyi. And every night after work, he would go visit her because she was young and beautiful. But you think, but Kunti Devi and, Kaushalya, like how she just, you just accept it, you know, and learn to live with it. And now the people that do practice it, they speak of the advantages. You know, there's many advantages. Like, first of all, they call it a sister wife, right? That you are with other women who you know, although there's always some kind of jealousy and rivalry that's mentioned in the Bhagavatam too, with Madhuri and Kunti, right? How when Gandhari, and when Kunti had sons, she became very jealous, you know, because she didn't have her sons yet. But so there's always that. But in monogamous, there's also that, because men are sometimes attracted to other women, and then there could be infidelity. And infidelity is like the number one ruination of a marriage, if one of the partners is unfaithful, as she said here, that she was equally faithful, and she's saying that also, that we have all been faithful. So that's like a number one qualification, and so she also wanted children as well. Yesterday the Prabhu Mahesh, I believe is his name, and he was saying, you know, like how sex life is just for procreation, and one thing about in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there's actually many stories of men becoming overwhelmingly attracted to a woman and then uniting with her. But always, 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 a child was born of the union. You know, like, it's hard to imagine like Parasara Muni, and then you know, it's with such of a T on in the boat, and then who's born though, the literary incarnation of the Lord Srila Vyasadeva, and such high births came from it. But one thing is about like the impersonalist Vishwamitra and others, like how they can easily be tempted, whereas one who has strong attraction to Krishna, then he won't be, tempted. So it's like how there's always temptations, and it may not be this, like it may not be the opposite sex, but so many things to kind of draw us away from Krishna, and then, you know, and we battle to overcome them. Like once upon a time, there was one man traveling through the desert, but it gets very cold at night, but he was traveling with his camel, and then at night they set up a tent for him to sleep in. So he's in the tent sleeping, and his camel got very cold. And so he poked his head in and into the tent, and he said, excuse me. And the man says, what do you want? I'm sleeping. He says, can I please keep my head in the tent because I'm really cold? And the man says, okay. And so then after a while, he's like, And then he wakes him up. Sir, what do you want? I'm trying to sleep. Don't bother me. What do you want? Can I just put like my two legs in too? And he says, okay, sure. Just don't bother me. Go ahead. And then eventually he's like, oh, it's so nice and warm in the tent. And then he just slowly creeps into the tent and kind of nudges the man out of the tent. And the man wakes up and it's freezing cold. And he's like, what am I doing here? And the camel had taken over. So that's like material desires. Like you just, I'm just gonna do a little. I'm just gonna go on Instagram for 5 minutes. And then, you know, eventually more and more, I'm gonna watch movie, just one movie. And then, you know, and whatever it may be, or like food, you know, eating food that's undesirable or unhealthy even, and then we just keep doing it and doing it. So there are so many, so many different distractions. That's just like the camel, just gonna put his head in, and eventually his whole body's in and kicked out. So eventually our whole devotional creeper is trampled, you know, just by a little bit of giving in, you could say. So you know, like here, we're also hearing about this free selection, but actually there's so many marriages that were based on politics, you know, the kings, like due to wanting to ally with another king, they would offer, you know, you can marry my, well, like Rukmi, you know, telling Shishupal, you can marry my sister. And even though she didn't want to marry Shishupal, and yet the father, her father, was not strong enough to, to refute his son and to allow for her, you know, to say, no, she doesn't want to marry him. So there's free selection, but not really. So there was a lot of this political reasons for marriages. Now, Prabhupada says how polygamy, he does say that it's desirable because there are more women in the world than men, and so some men should be renunciates and not get married even, so that makes the available men less, but But nowadays, in the world, it's more or less evened out. But certain countries, like one thing in America, we do have like 3% more women, but still three is a large number. And in other countries, the percentage of women is greater. In Moldova, Latvia, Armenia, Russia. Russia's a 53.57 female population. Ukraine, a lot of these like Eastern European countries and Russia like that. But then there's countries where the male population is very much more, like in Qatar, it's like 74% is the male population, and then in and other Middle Eastern countries like that, where it's much greater male population, so it's the opposite. So, but in this, in the situation where like that, and in Hong Kong, it's 55% is women population. But you know what I mean? So if there's a larger population, then in that sense, it was sanctioned. Although now it's outlawed. It's outlawed in America. It's illegal. And it's illegal in India, even in the 1950s, wasn't it, or 70, something like that. It became illegal, although, like, it, you know, people will just do it without it being legal, like, you know, without actually getting married, like, just without getting legally married, but perhaps having their own kind of wedding, but. But here it's not part of our culture, and so it doesn't usually work, although there are others like the Mormons. They say it's very advantageous because, you know, we all raise the children together. We share the responsibilities of the house, and like say one of the women will work and another one will take care of the children. You know, whatever someone's good at, they can do that and together. Kind of like, you know, like we have our communities here, and in the old days, the Grihasthas lived in the temples as well, and, you know, in separate men and women and even children, like especially the New York Temple on 55th Street, there were lots of Grihasthas. And so like that for the service of Krishna. So the main thing is realizing that Krishna is the true love of everyone's life, and is fully capable of giving that satisfaction that we are hankering after. So, you know, it's a little bit early, but are there any comments or questions?
We're talking about shy. Prabhupada gave other examples about the shyness. For instance, his sister, husband was a big debauchee, and if anyone came to her house, he was hardly ever there, and they would remark and say, "Oh, where's your husband?" Mm-hmm. She would say, "Oh, he's just gone out, he's coming back, you know." And then after some time, he just stayed home because she was so chaste. Mm. He gave that example. And he gave an example of being in the... Did the purport mention this kind of chastity? Or, yeah, did, right? So, or you brought it up, I don't know.
It's going to be there. I think because we're going to hear this word shameless. She was shameless because she pulled on his dhoti, but that's nothing these days, right? I mean, that would be so minor flirtatious.
Another example he gave was how he used to see this beggars in Calcutta, and the man probably said, I don't know what happened, but his whole face was erased by some accident.
So like he
couldn't even see his nose or anything, eyes. But the wife would take him out in the street to beg. What? A couple begging. His face was completely erased. What? Prabhupada used the word erased.
Like he got an acid burn or something like that.
Like burn? Yeah, something. I didn't see it. Prabhupada just told about it. And but the woman was so chaste, she would bring the guy out, like, and dress him very nicely and every day, and he would see them like that. Another example he gave. There's other examples that he gave. He was lecturing on this particular subject several times, talking about this type of chastity. Well, you mentioned the room they were sitting in, but I thought he also gave an example where they were out in the street and a lady was sweeping.
Yeah, that too. Two examples. I gave both of them. A sweeper in the street commands more respect.
Yeah, but that was a particular sweeper in the street that he said. Uh-huh. And him and his friend were standing, and she wouldn't come near, and they had to in the street. So it was a similar example.
Yes.
And so then there was some example of some guru came to their house, like Ramanuja story or something. But Prabhupada told a similar story, and they only shared one cloth because they were so poor.
Oh.
And something to do with the chastity there.
Yes. Thank you for the additions. In Nugoloka, our class is only 45 minutes, so I'm not used to a whole hour.
So my question is, if your husband is fallen, how do you get spiritual benefit from being chaste to such a husband?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so being chaste is different than expecting. You just don't expect to get spiritual guidance or, upliftment from such a person. And it is mentioned in the Bhagavatam that you don't have to serve a husband who's fallen. Fallen, that means, breaking the regulative principles, especially, and also, engaging, in different activities. So you don't, and you get it from your guru and from the association of devotees, and you don't have to stay with such a husband who's fallen. But the problem is that many times one will seek another husband who will be fallen in other ways, because how generally we're thinking that we'll find something better, but then something's missing in the other person, because nobody's perfect and everybody has some kind of lackings. And so we generally just kind of tolerate and realize that there's great benediction by this chastity of staying with our husband. And unless it's like really, really detrimental and really disturbing to your life, then we generally can tolerate it. Oh, where's the mic for him? Of Chaiwan. So Chaiwan Muni, he was once meditating inside the hollow of a tree, and yet his eyes were visible. So the young daughter of the king, she must have been not that young, but at least 12 or so, 13, and she thought, what is this, like, glowworm? Something's glowing in the tree. Right, so she took a straw and poked it. Is that right? Oh yeah, Okay. And she poked it, and it was him. And he came out, and he was very offended, of course. And so then her father gave her in charity to him. Again, there's not really much free will, but oftentimes. So then she had to marry Chaiwan Muni, and he was old and grumpy and everything, but yet she faithfully served him. And then the Ashwini Kumaras came somehow passing by, and she, and then he, what they did, they benedicted him, they gave him, cured him, so that made him young again, young and handsome, a lake where just like they have special, Ayurvedic herbs and everything in the lake. And then he was rejuvenated. And when her father came and saw her sitting with this handsome young man, like, he chastised her, "What are you doing?" And then she was very happy to report that it actually was, or Chaiwan Muni reported, he actually was the same person, but now all revived. Because, again, like how sometimes one is attracted to the opposite sex based on externals, you know, without seeing the whole picture or the qualities of a person, especially young, very young people, attracted to the bodily features.
When he came out, Chavana, he looks like one of them. Oh. Ashwini Kumar, they look same.
Oh yeah, they're twins.
Chavana,
right?
Came also look same.
Oh.
So then she has to figure it out, who is her husband.
Oh. Uh-huh.
So then she remembers, previously she heard from Chavan Rishi that the heavenly demigods or heavenly creature, when they come here, they don't land on the ground. So then she saw two are above the ground, one is touching the ground.
Wow.
I said, "That's my husband." Then she got special blessing, another blessing, like that.
Uh-huh, cool.
At one time, Srila Prabhupada compared the giving the person is accepts whatever name he's given at the time from his parents. So he should also, so anyone should accept the spouse that the parents are also giving. He compared the giving of name to the giving of a spouse. Mm-hmm. That if the parents are giving you a name, nobody objects their name that they're given. He compared that with giving a spouse, that whatever arrangement that the parents give, one should accept.
Right, again, that's part of culture. So that culture's not present here. But like that.
Yeah, of course, in that culture, though, there's a lot of, like, trust and track record that the parents know what the heck they're doing. Well, there's also a lot of trust, you know, that there's, you know, because then there's a lot of confidence. And then also there's an extended network of people and support, you know. So there's a lot of dynamics to it besides just good intentions. But this is on my mind. Right, so we're talking, I was driving in and listening and was saying how polygamy, you know, it's good to keep your husband from wandering, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But the Kshatriyas in Vedic culture, I mean, there's a few examples. They're also paying a lot of attention to the maidservants. How's that for euphemistic?
Right, what do they call them? A coop, there's a word for it. Like the demigods, like we hear Lord Brahma, right, he has married to Saraswati, but they have lots of other associates, you know. There's besides like a harem, they also have the maid servants and all that. Depending on the varna, like it's mentioned that like a Brahmin, he can accept four wives or more, but the first wife should also be of Brahmin background, and then with her permission, he can accept a second wife from either a Brahmin or a Kshatriya, background, and then he, with permission, he can accept a third wife who can be either Brahmin, Kshatriya, or Vaishya, and then he can accept a wife from Shudra after that. So there are, even for Brahmins, although generally not, Brahmins generally don't require that, or, you know, they're rather satisfied with their spiritual activities.
So do we recommend then maidservants, like, to help?
No. You know how in the heavenly realm, the laws don't apply that they do in the material world.
I was thinking, in the middle of your class, you are mentioning about Mother Kaiki's position, how Dasharatha loved her more than others. But most of the Hindus or Indians, they don't know the secret glory of Kaiki. I don't know in Ishkan how many of us really know, but she actually earned that respect and love from her husband. It was not a fault of Dasharatha. When she was married, I won't go through the whole life story of marriage, but was so beautiful that King Dasharatha went for a big war against some demon, and she wanted to accompany him, and he says, no, you are a woman, I married you, you stay at home, I'll be back. He said, no, my dharma to support my husband, mm-hmm. whatever capacity, and I'm capable of doing that. So she went in that war, and during that fight, that the wheel of a chariot was coming off, while he was literally shooting arrows to all these demons, and chariot was a wheel was almost came out, but she put her finger to keep the wheel going. Nobody knew, but then when Dasharatha Maharaj killed the enemies, then he realized how dedicated his wife Kaiki was. He could not believe that some woman can do that. So she was such a, few examples are there where she earned that respect, love from Dasharatha. It was not his fault.
Yeah, and how she received him. Of course, any of them would have received him every night waiting at the gate, with lassi and garland and sweet words.
Yes.
And all.
That's why he gave her two boon for future. Where Lord Ram, till today, there is not one lady's name, one girl's name, Kaiki, in Indian culture.
No?
I never heard. No.
Why?
Because they don't know the hidden secret. They only know superficial, she made Ram leave. But actually that was such a, how do you word it? True lover is always executing the intention and desire of his beloved, never mixes her own desire in the lover desire. That was Kaiki. It was so dedicated to Lord Ram. But that part is not known. Neither it is in the Ramayana mentioned in the movie. In India they had a movie of Ramayana. And that's how all the Hindus got hypnotized. Like, Kaiki is bad. And they never call a girl Kaiki.
But I heard somebody named Sirpanika.
That is unfortunate.
What'd you say?
Maybe it's it may not be unfortunate because she had an attraction to Ram. What's wrong with that? And Surpanaka came as a kupja.
I saw on
next slide.
America's Got Talent.
Yeah, we couldn't
hear. She sang. Her name was Surpanaka.
There's one last thing
famous.
I remember that Prabhupada said that marriage was so important. Like in Calcutta, there was one man. So he was at a gathering or someone's place, and his friend said, "You see that man over there smoking?" And the guy was smoking a cigarette. He said, "He just got married to that woman. That's his 64th wife."
Mm.
So probably
Prabhupada said, I do not know. But in other words, like, so many women couldn't get married, but on paper, this guy would marry them. He was like a professional husband. He probably tells some pretty funny story. But he said it really was, you know, he married 64 women. They couldn't find a husband, but he probably never even saw any of them, most of them. He just, okay, I'll marry you. Maybe he had money, maybe.
Yeah, because it's,
It was a show, yeah, but he was a professional husband.
Like even our Sri Gaurangi, right? Her parents like, when are you going to get married? When are you going to get married? When are you going to get married? Like, it's so important, right? The father feels that he hasn't done his duty if his daughter's not married, right? So they were very, very happy when he got married. Sri Gaurangi, because she was waiting for the perfect devotee to come. Jai. Okay, anything else? So, all right, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, all glories to Srimad Bhagavatam. Thank you very much.